Animation Protocol, the podcast where we talk about returning to 40K. My name's Doug, and with me are...
Andy, the token northerner.
And I'm Chris, and I am bottom of the class war. There we go.
it's going to be one of those off-screen jokes.
It's fine, it's okay. It's an off-screen joke. Don't worry. They're allowed to continue on screen.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, we had a week off, so we've had 2 weeks of hobby progress, getting on with our Tale of Three Gamers. So how's that gone for you, Andy?
Well, I bought the Necron sprues, and I looked at the sprues, and then I tied it up. Then I painted some more Ultramarines, looked at the Necrons again. Okay, I've done nothing. I bought the Necrons, and that's about it.
Okay, but you've been painting your Ultramarines still?
Yeah, and I'm kind of regretting it now.
Are you fed up with blue?
I bought them off a friend, the old Honor Guard models.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they were beautiful models, then I started to paint them up, and I'm halfway through, and I literally want to melt them down. Because I don't know if I'm... basically paint them well enough, or they just look awful. I don't know. I'll see how I go. They might end up getting attacked with a hammer.
Okay, so good progress on Tale of Three Gamers there. What about you, Chris?
I've managed to put together two squads. So I've got my two squads of Immortals, and I've kind of started taking bits off the sprue for my command barge. So I've got a day off tomorrow, which is quite nice, so I'll be cracking on with those. And then it's just a case of trying to find the paint scheme that I like. So I think the easiest thing is I might get a load of screen grabs of different schemes that I've seen and then chuck them up on the Facebook page, and I'll get other people to decide for us.
Yeah.
We'll do a couple of days of voting, and then there we go. I can take the decision out of my hands and somebody else can give us some ideas, basically.
That's a good way to do it.
The pick you sent me earlier with the black Necrons with the pink glow.
They're a contender. I don't know if I'm stepping on Tony's pink tower idea by doing that, but it's one of the potentials. The other thing is just to dry brush some silver and do it that way, but I want to try and do something a little bit more than that, I think.
Yeah, glows are pretty cool. I mean, pink's generally quite a hard colour to get right, just because it doesn't cover very well. It's like you're painting white, effectively. So, But glows are certainly very cool. And to sort of segue into my Tale of Three Gamers, I've got my Tau. I managed to overspend the budget by about 3 times after a trip to Forge World. So I've bought a Yavara. Anyway, it's the coolest looking Tau model we had in Forge World. I absolutely love it. And when I got it home and posted a picture on Facebook, everyone told me it was also totally busted. So I've accidentally bought like the most powerful thing in my Tau book because it looked cool. I've got the start collecting box. I've also got the commander, and I bought a load of resin bases for them all from I can't remember what they're called now. Micro Art Studios in Poland. I got some cool ruined sort of rubble bases with bullet holes and other stuff, which is pretty cool. Anyway, my segue was, because I have the Yahara, it's one of Forge World's upgrade kits. So basically they give you a Riptide, or most of a Riptide, and loads of bits of resin to stick onto it. Which means that you end up with half a Riptide sprue spare. So I took a few bits off that and I painted them all up in various different colour schemes and posted them up on Facebook for my mates to rate. And I was originally going to go with a sort of a freehand design of some filigree. I posted that up. I can do with filigree, I just think it looks a bit shaky and not particularly well sort of picked out. So I tried again with some cherry blossoms on it and I thought that looked kind of cool. But then on a whim, I did a really dark colour scheme with a red glow. And I like that the most. My wife likes that the most. So that's what I'm going to go with. So I bought a can of The Fang, which is dark blue spray. And I'm going to do sort of dark blue-grey towel with red glows. So that's my progress.
Very nice.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do glows, and it's one of those things I've decided recently, but yeah, modelling and painting is my main hobby these days, so I really want to sort of put some time and effort into getting better, and one of those is doing things like glazing, and that's how you get the glows effectively. You build up lots of thin glazes of the colour around the area, so yeah, that's what I'm planning on doing. Actually, on my painting table, though, is Araman, which I've bought for the GT Heat 2, which is coming up in December. I decided Mortarion gets shot. I played him against a new Eldar Codex, and he got shot off the board before I even activated him. So at least having warp time in my list gives me the option, if I get to go first, of getting him into combat before the Eldar blow him off the board.
I did see as well, there's obviously the rumours have started appearing about what will come out in Chapter Improved. And obviously, I think it was last time on the show that I mentioned that an idea for an army would be Mortarion, Typhus, and then two squads of six Death Shroud. And the Death Shroud are coming down in points, apparently.
Oh, that's...
So that army's become feasible now. Hooray! I was ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I like that. They are incredibly expensive, but they're also gorgeous models, and that's the main reason I want to use them. They're absolutely beautiful. They're probably my favourite models in the Death Guard army range. So yeah, any other rumours you got from Chapter Approved, Chris?
There were some bits and pieces, obviously. I can't remember if it was off Nafka or if it was off War of Sigmar, it's one of the two, and there were some bits and pieces on there, some a bit believable, some less believable, but a lot of it seemed fairly common sense stuff. There was one, obviously you're talking about rumours that you never know, and obviously it'd take that long to kind of come to pass, but there's another one that's come up before about the next Primarch we'll see will be Leman Russ popping up next summer, and then Angron in the same slot that Mortarion popped up. So again, feasible than believable, but it's a case of wait and see, really. I think we've seen the start of Primarch Wars now, though, so it's going to happen, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, Chapter Approved is pretty cool. I'm very excited about it, because I've actually been getting back into Age of Sigmar a bit this last month, and just reading the General's Handbook and seeing how much the changed, because they release a General's Handbook every year, and it's effectively the Age of Sigmar version of Chapter Approved. And it's got points changes, it's got new, formations, it's got new items, and it just completely changes the meta. So struggling armies like who've already had their codex, like Grey Knights, could get totally turned around just by a few little adjustments, and they could totally fix some of the more egregious units. I think the only things that are going to be probably not affected by it are Forge World models, like Malefic Lords, but we'll see about that.
Going off Sigmar, I think around the same time when the General's Handbook came out, they did rebalance some of the Forge World models as well. So the Rogue Idol came down in points cost, for example.
Oh, yeah.
So they may well do some of that as well at the same time. I don't know, it's a case of, we see it's the first Chapter Approved. So obviously, on the General's Handbook side, we saw what happened in year one of that. And then obviously, we've had year two arrive, so you get a rough idea of what's how they're going to go about it, but whether they change that up a little bit with Chapter Approved or if they go with completely the same method, we'll see. But yeah, as I said, it's exciting. I'll be interested to see if they give Gulluman an extra wound and change things up that way.
That could be quite good.
Watch everyone crying. We'll see the tears flood the internet. Probably.
No, he's fine as he is. We don't want him too OP.
So yeah, that's what we've been up to. It's quite encouraging, actually. Quite a few people have been posting on our Reanimation Protocol Facebook page showing their Tale of Three Gamers progress. Never too late to join in if you're listening and you want to either start a new army or start a new project of stuff you have sitting around. We'd love to see it. Yeah, and we'll maybe talk about some of the more interesting ones. So next on our list of things to talk about are tournaments. So Chris ran a little tournament for some friends of ours. Was it nearly a month ago now, I guess?
3 weeks now.
Yeah,
3 weeks.
And everyone really enjoyed it, so lots of people were asking when the next one will be, and sadly Chris has got himself indisposed. He's unavailable to run a tournament for a while. I said I'd pick up the mantle. So in beginning of February, I'm holding a little tournament for friends of ours at Warhammer World, a bit like Chris. So looking forward to that. You're going to play in that as the first time, aren't you, Andy?
I ain't playing, mate.
Are you winning?
Yeah. This is not a game, okay? Right, you know all the other episodes when I've gone on about it's fun? You know, that's the game. It should be fun. Yeah, well, sod that.
Okay, so Andy is going to be the token power gamer at the event, turning up with his Titan.
No, just an aggressive player.
Okay, so just an angry, bitter man sat in the corner, rocking back and forth with Gilliman.
Yeah, like I do at home, but I'll just be doing it in Warhammer World.
Okay. So one of the things I've been looking at for the tournament is some people have asked me about the Wolves Pack, and there was someone asked me if I was going to ban Lords of War, which reminded me a bit of, well, I can see why, and it reminds me a bit of something which people know as comp, or at least I know it as comp. I'm back in the dark days of Warhammer Fantasy, I guess it was 7th edition I used to play. Comp was a thing where the game was incredibly unbalanced, so gamers brought in their own balancing rules. Some of those were, you know, each unit had different comp points, or some units had different comp points, and depending on what you had affected how the game played. Some units were banned, and a big thing in Warhammer Fantasy was named characters are banned. Just full stop. You never played named characters in Warhammer Fantasy back then. And I think it's quite a common thing when people lose against stuff, or their army doesn't necessarily, they can't necessarily handle something, they instantly call for it to be ruled out of tournaments. And I'm not a fan. I like being able to play with my cool models. And yeah, some people would turn up with a list that's designed to absolutely murder you, but I don't think comp is a way to deal with that. I think encouraging people to bring friendly lists, and to be fair, the last tournament we had, we didn't really have anyone bringing abusive lists. We had, was it a Mechanicum list that had some knights in it, and that wasn't there to be abusive, that was there because he had a beautifully painted army list with some really lovely knights in it. And I think if you ban Lords of War, for example, that player couldn't turn up and play, which I think it would be a real shame. It would mean I probably couldn't have played, because I couldn't play with my Mortarian. And if same as if you ban Forge World. I think Forge World models, yeah, some of them are overpowered. Malefic Lords are a problem at the moment, but the majority of them are pretty rubbish on the table, but absolutely beautiful models. And if I spend, you know, 180 quid on a Tau Flyer, and it fairly rubbish on the board, but I really want to use it because I spent 180 quid on it, then I'd feel quite sort of miserable about not being allowed to use it. And I think once you start going down that rabbit hole, say you do ban Lords of War, and then you sit down and you play your army, and Gilliman's there, and you go, okay, I want to ban special characters. So you ban that. And then you say, oh no, there's a conscript blob of 40 conscripts. Let's ban units over 20. And before you know it, you're playing with 5 options and the game's incredibly boring. So
I could understand the rules that people were bringing in for the broken versions of Warhammer. But correct me if I'm wrong, I think 40k at the moment is fairly well balanced.
It's got its problems, certainly. But the main balancing factor is that anything can wound anything. So yeah. When I was playing in last tournament, I had Mortarian, and the closest I came to losing him was being shot with Dark Elder Splinter Rifles, which are like, they're poison, but they do one wound, they've got no rend, it's just volume of shots, and if you shoot something enough, it will die, and anyone is capable of doing that. So I think personally, I'd not want to rule around what you can bring. I'd want to encourage people to say, and I read this quite good quote the other day, which was, good army lists, and I mean this in a competitive sense, not in a narrative or fluff way, but good army lists are ones that can answer any question that's thrown at it, rather than ask a question and hope that the people can't answer it. Which basically means, can your army take down lots of troops? Can your army take down a Lord of War? Can your army take down Terminators, etc.? And if the answer is yes to all of those above, then you've got a very strong army that isn't a negative play experience, because it doesn't rely on a gimmick. It's just a strong all-round army. And I think just encouraging people to look at their lists and say, well, you're going to go up against a knight if you go to a tournament. That's a fairly statistical fact. You're going to go up against Imperial Guard. So you can either complain that you don't want to play those games, or you can go back to your army builder and adjust your list so you can win. And if you don't want to do that, if you want to play a fluffy list, then that's great. But I don't think there's a reason why the other chap can't play his list. What do you think, Chris? You're quite quiet.
I just obviously avoid jumping in, but I probably come from a different thing. We used to play lots of narrative games when we first started back in Second Ed. We have kind of been through the comp, kind of, or what you would call comp back then. But that was the mutual agreement with players beforehand. So I don't see a problem with people competing. If you want to run a tournament, part of it comes down to how many games you play regularly. So if you play once every 6 months, then yeah, you're going to want to play with all your toys. If you're playing on a weekly basis, you can start trying to, maybe you're getting a game or two in a week, where you can start trying things out a little differently and say, okay, well, this next game, let's try not using super heavies, let's do an assault type game. And it's kind of more on the narrative kind of side. So I can see the thing. I don't have a problem if somebody wants to run a tournament that says no Lord of War. I've not used a, I've used my knights obviously back when they first came out, but if somebody says they'd rather play something else, then that's absolutely fine. So as I say, I can understand why people want to do it. I've got no problem. I've got to that stage after 25 years of playing now, of people will play with how they want to play.
Yeah, and totally.
Don't worry about it in the long term. There's bigger things to kind of worry about. Like, is the painted army winning? That's the important thing with all of this.
Yeah, and I do totally get that. And I mean, narrative games, campaign weekends, they are really good fun. And one of the, I keep saying this, but one of the great things about Games Workshop these days is where you've got the three different ways to play. They encourage you to play narrative games. They encourage you to play campaigns. They just bought out a new campaign book for Age of Sigmar, which looks really good. So it's all good. And if people don't want to play Lords of War, by all means don't. But I think if you're having a tournament where different gaming groups are getting together, then you can't expect not to see every different type of model. And if your own gaming group bans a certain type of thing, when you go to another group that doesn't, which most Warhammer World, in fact all Warhammer World events, quite a lot of the big independent events, you'll see them there. So if you don't ever play against them, then that's just going to reinforce it in your mind that they're unkillable, when actually they're not. You just need to practice against them. I guess it comes from a War Machine sort of background of mine, where when you went to a games night, rather than asking to play against a sort of fun army, you said, right, can you turn up with your competitive army that I can't beat, and I'll try and beat it this week. And then if I don't, I'll try again later. So I guess that's different ways of coming at it.
Yeah, I think it basically comes down to, see, there's lots and lots of different ways to play, lots of different types of players. Different players have different ideals of how they want to go about things, and occasionally there's some clashes across those different cultures. And if you can solve it amicably, sometimes if you're playing the same guy at a club and he's using the same list every week, then I don't kind of really see a problem with saying, actually, let's do something like, let's swap armies, or you play with mine, I'll play with yours and see how it feels after trying that. have you not done those types of things before?
Not since high school.
Right, stop it. We're a family show.
Sorry.
Right.
Children, this is why.
You've killed Andy.
Just put it on mute, it'll be fine. We can carry on.
I'll put myself on mute.
Okay, so back to my tournament. I think the sort of conclusion that I came to is I've played against a lot of strong armies, and it's not necessarily the strong army that I don't like playing against. It's the whether or not the game is fun. So I think you can lose and still have a lot of fun in this game, and that's one of the things I love about it. So I think what I've decided to do is to sort of steal from the Throne of Skulls events that they run at Warhammer World, where, especially because we're only going to have 3 games and 16 players, so there'll be no clear winner, so tiebreakers are quite important. I think I'm going to give people points to grade someone's painting and someone's sportsmanship. So basically, at the end of each game, you have a slip, and you say, out of 5, the painting level, and out of 5, how much fun you had in the game. That way, hopefully, we're not going to set a hard, everything must be painted, but obviously, if you want to win the event, you should have a good painted army. And we're not going to set a comp limit, but if you want to win the event, you've got to be a fun person to play against. So I hope that's a happy medium. We'll give it a go and see what people think. What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
I think, again, if you lay stuff out beforehand and put that tournament pack out, and obviously just give people the option, if that's not what they want to do, then you can allow them to withdraw, and obviously somebody else that's on the reserve list, because it's quite a hefty reserve list of people wanting to play. I still might turn up, obviously. Obviously, what else is going on in life that I might still manage to make it and trying to join in at the same time. And again, if you know what you're going into, then there's no real problems there. So,
yeah,
I can do a painted army, no problem.
Cool. Andy, are you back yet?
Yeah, I'm back, yeah.
Yeah, would you be happy with that sort of event pack?
Yeah, it's not a problem there. The only thing I'd say is when you're actually grading the army paint job, as it were, from 1 to 5, are you doing it in front of your opponent?
When I've done it before, it's not really in front of your opponent. What I was planning on doing is just cutting out some little slips and saying, just hand them in to me at the end of your game. I normally don't mind people seeing what I fill in, but if you feel unhappy with that, then you don't have to do it in front of them.
They might kick off when you go, yeah, I'll give that army a 4. Well, it's definitely a 5. Here we go.
Yeah. I know you're going to kick off, so the person playing Andy should possibly do it in private.
At the same time, though, you can have your 5 for painting, but your sportsmanship has just gone down to a 2.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I'm going to lose points there. But,
yeah.
The
other thing I might do is a best painted army prize. Well, we can't give prizes because it's Warhammer World, and because they give us the tables for free, there's no money involved, which is absolutely fine by me for having an awesome venue for free, but I'll do some certificates and stuff for best painted army and maybe best sportsmanship, because
best painted ultramarines army.
I'm sure Pat will win that.
No, he won't. At least mine look like ultramarines.
Yeah, he's got turquoise marines, they're not ultramarines.
Exactly.
Turquoise is a type of blue.
It's not blue, though, is it? It's a type of blue. It's not ultramarine blue. It's turquoise. Swooping Hawk, turquoise.
I know you're kind of joking, at least I think you are. But
no, I'm not. You should see my face.
I've seen it. It's not good.
It's horrific. Keep away from it.
One of the things, going back to Age of Sigmar a bit, one of the things that's sort of kicked off in that community at the moment is they... Basically, there's a lot of rules you can get for being a certain type of... Skaven, for example. No, that's a bad example, sorry. Dwarves. Let's say you're dwarves from a particular skyhold, so a particular town. They get different rules to a different type of dwarf. A bit like the Imperial Guard have different chapters, Tyranids have different high fleets, etc. But what they've brought in for Age of Sigmar is they've said, if you want to use that, you have to be painted in that colour scheme. Which
that makes perfect sense.
It does, but then you get the bloke who's got painted his army the wrong shade of blue to be ultramarines. Are you going to sit there with a magnifying glass and say, that's not Gilliman blue or that's not ultramarine blue.
Not at all. I am not actually that picky. However, when it comes to blue and turquoise.
But that's the question is where do you draw the line? And I think that I'm not going to try and answer that tonight, but I think that's sort of certainly something that's going on in Age of Sigmar at the moment.
And I get where you're coming from.
It could well come over to 40k with all of these sort of subgroups. So,
not being as savvy about Age of Sigmar as I am 40k, all the different dwarf holds, don't they actually have their own icons, etc.?
Yeah.
As in, you know, what makes them stand out on their shields, blah, blah, blah.
Sometimes. So, like, the... what are the Sigmarines called?
Stormcast,
yeah. I should know, I'm building them at the moment. They've got an upgrade sprue, so there's two different types of shield and stuff like that. I don't think most of the armies do. I think it's mainly a colour scheme that you use to differentiate them. So, I mean, I can see maybe if it goes okay in Age of Sigmar, then bringing it to 40k, but I think the response has been fairly negative from a lot of players, especially ones who've painted their army and don't want to have to repaint them. And
that's legit.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. It could be an interesting time. I'm kind of hoping they don't bring it in for 40k. I like the honour sort of system of it, where if you say, I'm playing Ultramarines, they're blue, then that's fine. Or if you say, I'm playing a successor chapter, then, yeah, whatever. It's all good.
Exactly. Just say it's a successor chapter because it still has the same rules.
Well, it doesn't for things like Gilliman. Gilliman can't be with Ultramarine successors, which I found out the other day.
That's simple, then. Don't paint them turquoise.
anyway, rather than just bullying a particular person for his army colour choice.
He's very good at 40k, okay? He's very good at most games that he plays, so I'm going to slag him off about something, all right?
Name's even, so it's all right.
I'm sorry, Anonymous. So, next thing on our list, speaking of miserable experiences, is we were going to talk about some games that we've played that we just haven't enjoyed and what to do when you sit down against someone and they've got a list that just totally counters yours. You're going to lose. You know you're going to lose. It's going to be a miserable experience. So, Andy, you wanted to talk about this. I'm assuming you have some relevant experience.
Oh, yeah, very recently. I played my friend, and I knew I'd be going up against his Imperial Guard Renegades, you know, his Chaos Renegades. And I know that he's been buying a lot of infantry off Forgeworld, so I took what I thought was a fairly balanced Primaris list. Saying I took lots of intercessors to take down his troops. I took Hellblasters to have a go at his minimum amount of vehicles. And got there, he'd bought more tanks than I thought he had, for one. But I thought, I can still deal with this. And I had a game that lasted four rounds, where if I made a hit roll, I couldn't make a wound roll. And at the end of this game, I destroyed one Sentinel. Four turns.
Yeah.
I'm serious. You're there going, okay, Dreadnought, twin las cannon, because I took a couple of normal Dreadnoughts. Sorry, I took an Ironclad and a normal, yeah? Twin linked las cannon, hit every time, failed to wound. Both Hunter Killers on the Ironclad, miss. And that was the game, and I couldn't make an armor saving throw to save my life. To the point where my opponent sat there with a face like a wet weekend. And I'm going, why are you enjoying this? And he's like, because you're basically failing due to dice. And it's like, yeah, and tactical decisions. But, you know, it was just one of those games where you're just there going, please end. Please end.
Yeah, I mean, it is a dice game, especially with things like Las Cannons. They're built around sacrificing the multiple chances of success for a high reward if you get it. But yeah, I totally know the feeling on that one when you just can't hit anything. What about you, Chris? Have you got any relevant experience?
I can't think of any out of the hat, which is obviously because we talked about things before the show and I was kind of in the back of my brain for the last couple of hours since we kind of discussed that. But I can't really think of any bad ones that kind of spring out. So go back to when I used to work at a workshop, we used to do all the intro games for newcomers. And used to throw the games all the time, so they don't really count. just to kind of give that. I did obviously beat a couple of kids along the way as well.
What do you mean you throw the games? You mean they let me win?
I've got no idea what I'm talking about. I'll just ignore that. But you try to be competitive, but you wanted to obviously show off the different sides of things to make it enjoyable. Obviously, Kentucky Bookshop's a very different company now. Maybe they don't throw the games, but
they don't in the lead store.
Yeah. But I can't think of anything that's that. You have kind of glitches within moments, you have a round, but kind of the luck that Andy sounds like he's had there, I don't think I've ever had. I think things have balanced out. You'll have good rounds, you'll have bad rounds.
That was the first for me. Entire game of bad dice.
My most recent experience of it, and I do tend to play some very competitive gamers, and I do ask them to bring their tournament lists just for a bit of practice. And as I said, I played against the new Eldar last week, and I had my standard Death Guard, Mortarion, Terminators, etc. And yeah, they've got the new Eldar are brutal. They can do a lot of shots, and a lot of them either auto-hit or do mortal wounds. And I mean, Mortarion was losing 6 mortal wounds per shot at one point. So yeah, he blew away half my army before I even had a go. And that can be miserable, certainly from playing War Machine. One of the things I miss about that game is that at any point you can assassinate the enemy Warcaster and win. So even if you're losing horribly, you can still win by pulling out some crazy shenanigans. So I think one thing I've tried to carry over to 40k is, okay, I'm losing horribly, I'm not going to win, so set myself some goals. So either, okay, I want to at least score some objective points, or I want to kill the enemy warlord, or I want to send my squad of Imperial Guardsmen into melee and see how many I can kill with that. And I think by doing that, you can still have fun whilst your opponent is still getting a full game and getting practice their list, etc. And I think you can turn around a game that would otherwise be miserable by just setting yourself some fun objectives. I mean, that's the way I deal with it, and I try and enjoy every game I lose.
That's fair. Yeah. I got my own back at the end of the game.
Did you smash his models?
No, I stole some of them.
Okay. The animation protocol does not endorse Andy's behaviour.
It's not stealing if you smile.
Okay, kids, don't listen to that. We will possibly visit him in prison. So, our last sort of real topic for the night is Games Workshop's current release rate. I was looking at Necromunda recently, and I was seriously considering buying it. And then I thought, it's just going to sit on a shelf, because I've got so much stuff that I've got to paint. I've got Shadespire, I've got Age of Sigmar, I've got 40k stuff. They're bringing out Necromunda, there's going to be more stuff coming out soon. And I'm finding it hard to keep up. Not so much with buying it, I'm lucky in that I can afford to buy models. But in terms of actually doing anything with it, I just don't think I'll ever have the time to play Necromunda at the moment, even though I really want to. So, what do you think?
I think they are releasing just a bit too much at the moment. I mean, I've got, for an example, Blood Bowl is still in its box upstairs. I've just not had the time to even look at it, you know what I mean? Never mind start taking the miniatures out, assembling and painting. And I think they're releasing too much when they could be re-releasing other stuff, if you get my meaning. As in, Imperial Guard, I mentioned this last time, the old models are old and look very, very dated. And they really need to re-release them to actually inject a bit of keen for that codex they've just released. But that's my 2 pence. There we go.
Yeah. What about you, Chris?
I'm okay with it. I think it sounds like the Games Workshop fanboy I am, maybe, but it's probably a really good sign of their production rates and obviously the production quality nowadays that we're looking at every release and going, oh, I really want that. And then the next one comes along and you go, oh, I really want that as well now, which is probably a good sign for them. Games Workshop themselves probably do want you to play with the models because you get your new army and you'll buy more bits and pieces, but they also want you to buy the next thing, and they want you to buy the next thing. So if the quality's up, that we're looking at it like that. I've done the same. I'm looking at Necromunda going, it's nice. I've got a lot to do. Obviously, we've got a baby on the way, so priorities in different orders. But instead, I've just dug out my old cuddle and stuck them in, paint stripper, and cleaned them all off, and they're all ready to go. So it's not cost me anything extra for apart from picking up a couple of models here and there to complete the gang and do it that way. And then we'll look at the next project and just keep bimming along from there. So I quite like it. I think there's more on the Codex side. Obviously, we are a 40K kind of based podcast, really. And Workshop did kind of rush all these Codexes out to start off with, so that everyone's got a game to play without having to just stick with the old indexes. Obviously, 10 Codexes in the space of 3-4 months, is it? Something like that, 5 months maybe, is brilliant. So obviously, they've got all themselves in order. Okay, yes, not everything is brand new. So the Death Guard was a brand new army. The Primaris, when they came out, was a brand new army. But the rest is just re-releases and just putting some of that reinvigoration back into that army. So I'm looking at December now when Dark Angels come around, because that was my original army from back in the day. And obviously, I've started painting some Green Space Marines kind of in preparation just because I had the bits there. And that's only it. The release of information that Codex is coming out. And I know there's going to be no new models with it. It's just going to be the book and the cards to go with it and maybe some dice, and that'll be a lot. But that's enough to invigorate my hobby and push us towards that new army. And we'll keep seeing that come along, I think, from there.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think they're doing well.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they were releasing nothing, we'd be complaining about that. So I'd rather too much than too little. I think most people would agree with that. Speaking of releases, the Christmas releases should be out soon to pre-order, which are quite exciting. So for people who don't know, they tend to do this every year, I think, or have done, certainly did last year. They put together some army bundles with a fairly significant discount. So this year there are Orcs, Imperial Guard, Tyranids and Tau. And I don't know all of them off the top of my head, but I know the Tau one has a saving of about 35, 40 quid. So it costs £100. And if you can get it from somewhere like Firestorm or the Outpost, can probably even get it even cheaper and save up to almost 50 quid, which is, you know, not bad. The main difficulty is going to be getting hold of them, because from what I'm told, they sold out incredibly quickly last year. So if you're looking to start one of those armies, or that's one of your Total Free Gamers projects, then look out for them and jump on them as soon as you can. So, to finish up, we have two sections. Andy, you've been digging through the archives and you have something interesting to tell us about what things were like way back when.
Oh, everything was better. Basically, there's an old miniature I found while going through my bits box, and I had to do a little bit of research on it to find out, well, basically what the hell it was. Chris might remember, because he's been in this hobby quite a while, and I think you do look at a lot of the older stuff as well, Chris, don't you?
I've got some of the old Facebook groups, so I kind of see bits and pieces go past. So I'm intrigued. We didn't talk about this before, just to not spoil the surprise.
The Chaos Toilet.
What?
Good work. Brilliant.
It was actually a miniature. And for some reason, I have it. Not all of it. Unfortunately, I'm missing the cistern, which is something I never thought I'd say about a miniature. And I'm looking at this miniature going, what the hell is this? So I had to actually go online to essentially work out what it was. So there you go, Doug. The Chaos Toilet.
And what is... Is that a 40K model?
I think it was generic. It's a Citadel miniature from back in the day. And I don't know what army it was with, but it was the Chaos Toilet.
It's great. I can feel Doug's middle classness revolting from over the radio, basically.
That's
middle class. Just can't contemplate the fact that there was a toilet in, I'm guessing that was, is that a metal one, Andy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was a There was another toilet in, I think it was the third edition, Warhammer Fantasy box as well. Yeah, there was a little cardboard toilet that you could put together as well, like a little outhouse. So it's not like it's like an imperial toilet to go with the chaos toilet.
Amazing. Yeah, but that was surely just a bit of scenery. This thing had like the toilet bowl with like tentacles and claws coming out of it, you know?
Amazing.
That is kind of depressing.
That's your Christmas present sorted.
Cool. I was about to say how much to go for on eBay. Probably quite a lot, I would have thought.
Oh, probably not a lot. It's missing its system.
Well, yeah, but I mean, where else can you get a half-made chaos toilet?
Might get a chaos plumber out to come and sort it, possibly.
Okay, now since we appear to have got into the silly season part of the podcast, someone has requested that we play a game. So, Andy, Primark, Shag, Mary Kill, go.
Shag has to be Fulgrim. You just know he's nasty. Mary. Vulcan, because when you get married, you don't have to have sex, and he looks like a really caring guy. And Kill, it has to be Lorgar, because he's the emo Primarch. There you go.
Chris, you're up.
Oh, I have no idea at all. So,
on the spot.
On the spot. Just do yours, Doug, and I'll think about it for a minute. This is terrible.
Okay.
This is terrible radio.
So, Shag... Magnus. Magnus did nothing wrong. Magnus is great. Mary, probably Vulcan, but for a different reason. He makes cool stuff, so he could make me a toilet. Some nice things.
Not a chaos one.
No, and Kill Lehman Russ. He's far too annoying, and he hurt Magnus, the bastard. I like Magnus. Chris, have you thought
of him yet? Sorry, that's completely throwing me. Let's go with I don't know. This is terrible radio. Why are we even contemplating it?
One of our listeners asked us the question.
I know, but there was a big chunk of different things that we could have discussed. And I can't believe you picked this one out of those different options.
You have met us, yeah?
I know, okay. But it was Doug that came up with it.
I didn't.
Come on, Doug. Sorry, come on, Chris. Right. Who turns you on? Which climate gets you hot?
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're going to leave it for a week. I hope we haven't put you all off. Please don't unsubscribe. But please do visit us on Facebook. On Twitter, and please subscribe. And if you want to help out the podcast, and a few people have asked me, Doug, we like your podcast, what can we do to help? Leave us an iTunes review, or leave us a tunes on a Stitcher review, because those are the sort of things that push us up the rankings and help more people discover a show. So yeah, leave us a review, hopefully a good one, but you know, be honest. Anyway, so it's good night from me and good night from him.
Thank you very much. Good night.
It's all gone down the chaos toilet.
Aww.